Welcome to the China Flexpat Podcast.
Yeah, so I'm Boris. I'm French with engineering background. And first time I came to China was in 2000. And now I've been living in China for like 16 years. I lived in Qingdao in the past, a little bit in Wuhan also. Now I'm the owner of a company. I didn't start the company. I did a kind of management buyout of the company. And then I bought another company in the time to make them grow here in China. So what we are doing in the company is two main activities. One is subcontracting of mechanical parts, plastic injection, electronics, optics parts like lenses, prisms for industrial applications, and that we are mostly exporting all over the world. And the other part of our activity is distribution here in China of high technology optical equipment. So mostly to universities, research centers, and a little bit also to industries. Recently, we just made sales for Huawei. And our company is a kind of mix of Chinese employees and foreign employees. We've got 20 employees altogether, five of which are foreigners, I would say flexpats, say it.
And how do you manage your worldwide activities from China?
Well, basically used to travel a little bit more before. Now we are a little bit stuck in China, as you can understand, and we rely a lot on the internet. We rely on the flexpats or foreign employees here to help us to deal with foreign customers or foreign suppliers, make the connections, make the bridge. So one of our former, I would say, flexpats, which is a foreign employee that used to work for us more than 2 years here in China, that has to go back to her home country and continue to work with us from the home country. So we were a little bit able to spread, I would say, the business in a foreign country based on the experience gained here in China.
For your local distribution activities here in China, I guess you're in competition with local competition, right? So how do you differentiate yourself?
Yeah, there is a lot of competition here in China, as everybody knows, because for every business, if the business is making money, then you will see some different company popping up everywhere. So the key point is differentiation. That's why it's good also to be a foreigner, because you can be a brand also for your company by yourself. Well, often when I go to fairs, people recognize me. I even remember like people coming to me during fair saying, "Hey, who are you? I've seen you so many times on these fairs. What do you do? What's your company doing? Can we speak? Can you just, I'm a kind of brand." And every time the people come, they say, "Okay, here are the foreigners. This is the company as a foreigner," especially the kind of business we're doing in optics, in the distribution. There is not that many foreigners here. I think one important thing is that when the customer comes to see us and they see there is a foreigner for the distribution business here in China, they feel a little bit of stress. They think, okay, you're a foreigner, you are importing equipment for foreign countries, that makes sense. We can trust you. We trust you that you are not going to sell Chinese product and say it's been imported, whatever. We know that your connection abroad, that is easy for you for doing business. So I think that's one way of differentiating, of just being like a foreigner, so different, I'll say. Important point is the communication you can have with the foreign suppliers, especially in terms of transparency, what's going on in China. You know, foreign suppliers, they are in their countries that seldom come to China, but they don't know exactly what's going on. And usually in the Chinese culture, transparency is not very high in it. So they don't get much feedback on their distributor here on the market or what's going on. So one important thing also is the trust that a company gets in seeing some foreigners, because as we are importing foreign manufactured products, people, the customers that come to see you think, okay, it makes sense, you're a foreigner, you are selling imported products made in foreign countries, and we can trust you. You're not going to try to sell some local Chinese manufacturer product and just say it's been imported or whatever. You have real connections with a foreign manufacturer, so we can trust you. So I think it's an important thing. Another point also is for communication, especially when you communicate with foreign suppliers, you can share some transparency about what's going on. You know, usually transparency is not very high in the Chinese culture of business. And the distributors here, they are not keen to share information about the market, about what's going on the Chinese market, and the suppliers, they don't come often in China. So they are very keen to get some information about what's going on. As something as a foreigner, you know, you feel, and you can share also more information. And it's part of the culture of the business too. Last one thing, I think it's kind of interesting. That's why I always say to my team, I say, okay, when you want to negotiate something with a customer and you feel they want something that you don't want to be included in the contract, you can just blame the foreigner. That's what I say. Just blame the foreigner. Just say, okay, my boss is a foreigner. He don't understand what's going on in China, so this he cannot accept. Or he want to be done this way, even if it's not the way that the customer wants. And usually say, okay, yes, foreigners, they don't really understand our culture of doing business or whatever. So, okay, I understand you. We're importing products, so we are working like the foreigner way at the moment. And it's something that we can negotiate in between. Like when you want to play the local company, Chinese company to do that. And when you want to say, okay, we are very strict, we work according to some rules because we are foreigner, they can understand that.
What would you say are the difficult sides for running a business as a flexpat in China if you look at the administration and the finance part of the business?
You don't know much about the local regulations. And to be frank, it's also changing a lot here in China. So it's always difficult to know exactly what are the regulations, what you have to do, what you cannot do, how to do this. And then you need to find someone you can trust to do that. And to be fully transparent, we are issue definitely. You have two ways. Either you hire people in the company who can do it for you, or you are subcontracting it to other companies. And we have bad experience in both. Some employees who say they did something, then finally they don't do it, or they just add some complexity that is not necessary. Subcontracting companies that for services that just scam us and try to make money without doing a real job either. So it's not easy to trust someone to do it, but so that's very difficult. If I have to give an advice based on my past, I would say bad experience in that, would be to really try to understand by yourself what's going on and try to be involved. You really need to be involved to understand everything, what is required and how to do it. Try to do it as much as you can by yourself also. As you know, there is also some limitations for foreigners. For example, if you want to register a website in China, you have to use a Chinese ID. So as a foreigner, you cannot do it. You have to rely on someone you trust in the company who can do that, and that someone that can stay also in the company. It's very important that as a foreigner, you are limited. You cannot register a website on your foreign name. Sometimes things also can be easier as a foreigner. I remember some years ago, there was some administrative tax to be done, and I sent one of my administrative staff to do it, and just come back to me saying, no, it's impossible. So I did exactly what everybody say you should not do in China. I get angry and start to make people losing face. So I came to the office, I take one of the two people who should do the things, I scream at him, and I hit my fist on the table, and people in front of me, I just see him in his eyes, it was like, okay, it's a foreigner, he don't know how to behave, I don't want to argue with him, I will just do the thing. And then he took the paper, go to the other people, and in 5 minutes it was done, something that was supposed to be impossible to be done. And I guess it's only because I was a foreigner, they just saw me like getting angry and saying, okay, just give up, he's a foreigner, we don't understand. If Chinese people have done that, I think will not have done that way.
How about some of the paperwork, like opening a business license, visa for the flexpats, that kind of stuff? Do you see it like a difficult job, or is it the same like for Chinese companies?
To be frank, for visa, we are doing in-house. We don't even use an intermediary, whatever, and it's always working well. So yeah, maybe I have a good staff to do that. We don't have much issue. We even did some complex things like change a visa from a family visa to a working visa. Need time, I won't lie, but it was done. And for the business registration, was done, yeah, some years ago, but was okay. And no, nothing very difficult here, especially not being a foreigner.
Now, I really like your story, how you fight with the office guys. So how much Chinese do you need to do that?
That's a point. I think it's critical, but I have a short answer for that. Is never enough. You always need to get better Chinese. my advice for learning Chinese, I think it's you should be able to read some contracts. Even in my position, I often have some contracts to read. At the start, required that you have to know both language, Chinese and English, and then you start only reading in English because you are lazy. And especially when there is an update of contracts, usually the Chinese is updated, but maybe not the English or not very well. So I start now to work a little bit on the contracts. And when you work on it, you see that's more or less the same words coming in, and you have to focus on two or three paragraphs, mostly the price, payment terms, and this kind of things. Yeah, it's much easier now when I only work in with Chinese contracts. So that's one point. And after sure, you need also to get enough Chinese level to be able to discuss and negotiate with your suppliers and customers, especially when the things are not going well. You know, usually I let my staff do it. When there is some difficulties, I go with them, and then okay, we discuss with the Chinese part, and it's much better if you do it in Chinese. And sometimes you see situations going tense, and it's good if you can leave a good maybe a good Chinese. And usually the Chinese side, they understand it quite well, and they okay, they understand that okay, now we are going through a difficult time, but it means that at the end of the journey, there will be some rewards. It's just something good to cool off when the meeting is going maybe to it. And one important thing also is that you need to learn the vocabulary of your trade. It's maybe not that difficult, but there is words that you will never learn if you just do HSK or this kind of learning methods. And you have to learn it because it will be used in the business you are doing. It's quite important. And one good side also of being able to communicate in Chinese is that maybe you have a broader choice of your employees. You don't need to look only at employees that can speak English. You can have some employees who don't speak English or not very well, especially if they are not communicating with your foreign customers. And that's, yeah, that broadens your choice of Chinese employees. That's a good thing. One thing in our company, I chose some years ago that the working language is English more than Chinese. And there is pro and cons on that. As for me, it's easier for me to understand clearly what I want to say. And maybe that people don't pretend to say something that they didn't say. But still, my Chinese don't improve that much doing that.
If you work with both Chinese professionals, maybe that don't even speak English properly, and flexpads, and I at least I assume that there is some kind of salary gap in between or some different way of how people work and what they're used to. How do you motivate your complete team? How do you make sure they really give everything you need to run your business and that you bring them in one team around the world?
There is one thing that I always tell my team also, is especially if it's working for a company that sometimes, you know, there is some complaining, even for both the Chinese side and the flexpat side, that something is difficult, that maybe it's very difficult to find a solution to some issues that's spring. What I say then is that, okay, look at it. If there is no difficulty in what we are doing, if it's easy to be done, then you have no need to be there. Nobody will need us. You know, we are a company providing services for foreign companies here in China, so people can work directly. So if there's no difficulty, we have no added value. Added value is to be able to handle these difficulties. And I think that's one way to motivate people when they meet, you know, some difficulty, to show them, okay, your value is that you will be able to find a solution to this difficulty. That's why you are here. That's why we are here. And for me particularly, what I want to do every single so is to show the example of what needs to be done. Sometimes there is some difficulty issues, and then need to call people, and maybe you are not sure you will get anything, or people are very nice to you. And when I feel there is this kind of difficulty with my staff, even the Chinese side or the flexpat one, I say, okay, let's do it together. Come to my office. I will call with my mobile and start to speak. Maybe I will do the speaking, or sometimes I just let my colleague do the speaking and I'll keep his ear. Just, okay, if something's difficult and you see that people is not, just do the example and help them to do that. I think it's very important to motivate your team. And even when I go on affairs and, you know, there is some Chinese customer to me to explain, I don't hesitate to show, okay, just be proactive. You know, one fair Chinese employee, usually they are a little bit passive. They're waiting people to come to you. I'm more like proactive, going to meet the people, and I show them I want to do that. And just go to grab some passerby and say, okay, here's our product, this is what you're doing, what you're doing. Show the example. After, yeah, sure, there is bonuses and if there are good results. And we also do quite a lot of team building activities, I mean real team building activities.
Okay, Boris, I really like how you describe how your team work together, the foreigners and the flexpats and the Chinese professionals. But why do you actually need flexpats? Why would you not say after so many years in China, maybe this one flexpat works back home and you and all the rest are Chinese? Why do you need flexpats?
The idea is first to set up your objectives. Why you will need foreign employees, and if they are working here, they should bring value. As you pointed out, they are not cheap. So they should bring bigger value than equivalent Chinese employee. So clearly for us, the idea is to get the communication with our foreign customers and foreign suppliers to be improved. We have a clear strategy here in the company is that foreigners are contacted by foreigners and local Chinese are contacted by Chinese, and we do all the link in the company. So if there is some misunderstanding, cultural misunderstanding or whatever, or even norms misunderstanding, everything is managed inside the company and not outside. And the people connecting with the other stakeholders, yes, they should share more or less the same kind of culture to be able to have better communication. And also, I think it's important that flexpads, they have, you know, we are working in the industry, so they have better knowledge of international companies, which company is doing what, how they are working, where they are located, and this kind of thing. So that's important to have flexpad foreigners for doing that. And I think they can also better sit in the chair of the customer. For example, if you want to sell something, it's important to understand how they will think, customers. And yeah, nothing beats somebody with more or less the same culture of the guy to which you want to sell something.
I totally agree to all you said. It's really nice. But how do you find these flexpads?
The point is to see how to look at people. And I think also it's important to see how people will look at you. But usually I'm focusing on the language, which language I want to find. If I'm looking for people speaking French, for example, most of our business is with French speaking companies. So I'm looking for the French networks. I use LinkedIn a lot. It's working quite well, and up to now was free to put some jobs on LinkedIn. So yeah, it's working quite nice. I never use a Chinese local website because usually they're not that much used with by flexpats. Yeah, most is network, WeChat groups working quite well too. So you have to find the good ones. Yeah, that's where it's working the best. You just put some posts and ask your network friends, say, okay, I have a job post which is looking for a flexpat. Can you help me to spread the word to your network? But I'm also interested in the other way. How do flexpats looking for a job here in China? So I can better understand if you have this kind of information. That's interesting.
Our listeners who might want to work in China, maybe they can reach out to you. And this is what I recommend to flexpats, to say, yes, they can check LinkedIn. They can check the local job posts. But actually, the best way is to go into the networks and to ask people who have businesses or know people who have businesses to say, what is crucial tasks that Chinese professionals cannot do as well as flexpats? And is there anyone who is looking for one person right now? What would be your advice to say, what should they do if they want to actually follow your steps and come to China, start a career here, maybe work for your company or for another company as a first step? What is your advice? What should they do when they first come to China?
I think you should not hesitate to send some unsolicited application, stressing out what value you can bring to a company. Don't wait to see job post. You can send to foreign company, but also to a local Chinese company. You know, maybe you are a good designer, you're a good marketer, or you say, okay, I'm very good to find a company to sell equipment to them, for example, in Germany and German-speaking countries. And I'm sure there is a lot of companies that would be interested in this kind of profile. For myself, sometimes I'm thinking about, I will need this kind of people to join my company, but it's very difficult to find, so I don't want to send a job post or whatever. And then, maybe if you receive some unsolicited application for this kind of position, you'll be like, hey, okay, why not? Yeah, we can sit together and discuss. Online and see what we can do together. So yeah, don't hesitate to send application to companies you want to work with, and you want to focus when you think you can bring value. So the key point here is to bring value to companies. So just see what you can do. If you don't have much experience, maybe you just say, okay, I know the culture of a specific country and I can help developing the market here, or okay, I'm a good designer or whatever.
You are an entrepreneur. I can see that. Why should FlexPets go down that road? Why should they start their own business?
I don't think that is necessary. You can do whatever you want. The question is more why I did it. Something I always wanted to do is to have my own business. If you're only interested in techniques, maybe you should not start a company. If you're only interested in marketing, you should not start a market. But if you're interested in looking at everything, every kind of parameters, every kind of interaction in sales, purchasing, marketing, internet, everything, I think that's very interesting, and you learn a lot. You need to learn everything new every day, and that's what I like, and that's why I came to China, is because I was thinking things are so different from my own country. Things are moving very quickly. Every day I can learn a new thing. Being an entrepreneur here, you can double that thing that you are learning by being here.
Thank you so much for coming on the show today. 谢谢, and 再见.
Yeah, 谢谢, bye bye.
Thank you for being part of China FlexPod community. Visit our website at chinaflexpod.com and follow us on LinkedIn. Goodbye and 再见.